Good morning, saints. Let's try that again. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. If God's been good to you, let's just take a moment just to give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for Brother Kevin. And as I always like to say, he's the best on forerunner in the country. Amen. If I'm going to go anywhere on a revival throughout the world preaching, I'd love to take Brother Kevin with me so he could be my forerunner. Amen. Hallelujah. You just said something right there, brother. You just said something right there. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a word coming from the Lord today, but there's three reasons why I'm excited. The first reason is because in spite of the condition that society is in, I wholeheartedly believe that our God is still in control. Amen. He's still in control. And secondly, God is still speaking to us. We don't dot every I nor cross every T, but the God whom we serve is still speaking to us through his word. Amen. And through the chosen ones that he has called to share his word. And the third reason why I'm excited today is because everyone who's in this building could have chose to stay home today. But instead of doing that, you came out to God's house to worship him in spirit and in truth. And because you decided to do that, let's give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that sometimes we just want to sit in God's house and we just kind of want to hear a nice, quiet, soft, gentle message. And that's okay. But I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be some noise. Hallelujah. There's going to be some noise. And I'm confident that's one of the many reasons why God's going to change us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There will be no complaints in heaven about who's praising God more than the other person. Amen. The subject that God has given me this morning has become a very touchy subject. It's become a very touchy subject. And when I began to share with you the subject, I think you'll understand why it's become a touchy subject. But the thing that I realize as a man of God, one whom God has chosen and understanding the will of God, he did not call us to only preach messages that people want to talk about. But he called us to preach whatever he says to preach in his word. Amen. And so one of the things that I try to do as a man of God is to stand on his word. And sometimes it feels good when you can preach a message that everybody wants to shout about and praise God and shout. But sometimes there's a message that causes you to sit in silence. Causes you to sit in silence and to really think about where we are as a nation, as a people. And so I want to call your attention to a couple of passages of scripture. I want to first of all go to Genesis chapter 1. And I want to look at verses 26, 27, and 28. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and 28. And then we're going to go over to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Okay? And the Word of God reads, I see there's still some pages turning. We'll wait till everyone gets there. And I love hearing pages turning when it's time to read the Word of God. I attended two services yesterday, and the first service was my son's pastor. I'm not my son, but my pastor's son passed away at the age of 45, unexpectedly. Very faithful and committed and active in the church. Huge loss to the kingdom of God on this side. And it was a very, very sad occasion. And then I had to preach at a funeral following that at 3 o'clock yesterday. And when I got to the second funeral, everybody was very quiet. And when I said, turn to Revelation chapter 14, I heard no pages turning. I heard no pages turning. Which says to me that it was a building full of people who came to a funeral who were not carrying Bibles. That's a problem in our world today. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 to 28, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created him, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Go with me over to Psalm 127. If you're there, when you get there, just say amen so I know that you're there. In the Pew Bibles, it's what page? Page 479 in the Pew Bibles. Okay? Psalm 127. Okay, I still see some pages turning. Thank God for people who want to hear the word of God. Okay? Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. We're going to stop there. Amen. And this is going to be a several part series that I'm going to be doing here at the wilderness over my next several visits, excuse me, down here to preach. And so if you won't be here, you know, I know that you can go online to wiseworship.com and and you'll still be able to hear the message. the devil wants to mess with my voice, but he's a liar. God has all power, and this message is going to be preached. I want to talk on the subject of God's design for the family. God's design for the family. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this opportune time to be here and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you have saved our souls, that you sealed us until the day of redemption. And Lord God, we've come to praise you and worship you in spirit and in truth, but also, Lord God, to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. We humbly ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts right now where we are, that you would keep us, encourage us. And Lord God, if there's anything that we have misunderstood, we ask that you would convict us. We ask that you would empower us with your word and with the truth according to the scriptures, your holy scriptures. I give you glory, honor, and praise in advance for all that shall be said today. Please help me to speak with clarity and with simplicity in such a way that even a little child can understand. And having done so, God, we give your name all the glory, the honor, and the praise that you so richly deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's design for the family. We just read, my brothers and my sisters, that God himself decided that he would create man in his own image. But before God created man in his own image, when you read the earlier verses in Genesis chapter 1, you see that God provided everything that man would need to be successful and that the family unit would need in order to flourish and to shine and to be what God designed for it to be. It is clear in the scriptures that I just read to you that God said, I am creating them male and female. But yet in our society today, we see people marching in our streets with picket signs saying that they have the right to be whatever gender that they choose to be. And not only do they say that they have that right, but they place a demand on society. They place a demand on society and even on the church that we are supposed to accept them for who they want to be. And I just stopped by to tell you today that that is something that the church in many areas has fallen prey to. Has fallen prey to. And we have pastors in the pulpit saying that God loves everybody, and he does. And saying that We need to accept people the way that they are, and that's a lie from the pits of hell. There's nowhere in scripture where God says accept anything that's contrary to his word. And so my brothers and my sisters, we are scratching our heads and trying to figure out, how did our streets become the way they are? How is it that whenever there's a decision that's made at the Supreme Court, no matter what the decision is, whether it's for this or against that, it's going to pack the streets with people who are going to protest. And you got to ask the question, what is right and what is wrong? And the reason why most people in society do not know what's right and what's wrong is because people are primarily depending on the courts to decide what's right and what's wrong, when we need to be getting back to God's word. It is the word of God that has always decided what's right and what's wrong, and it still does. And there's a news alert for many people today, my brothers and my sisters. Something that used to really frustrate me is when I would try to explain something, and I'd share the word of God with somebody, and after they come to me and they said, I got a problem, I got issues, you know, what do you think? And I give them scripture, and then they say, well, I disagree. And it used to frustrate me. It used to frustrate me after I'd spent all that time trying to share with you what the direction you need to go in, what decision you need to make, and then you say, well, I disagree. And it used to frustrate me, and the reason why it frustrated me is because I felt that just because you disagree, I failed. But no. One of the things that the Spirit of God has revealed unto me is that just because a person disagrees with the truth does not mean that you failed. We have to continue to stand on the truth, and the truth is always going to be the truth as long as it's the truth. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can never bury the truth. Well, let me back that up. You can bury it, but it's always going to rise. Check your third day in the Bible. On the third day, Jesus rose with all power. He's the way, the truth, and the life. They buried him. But guess what? On the third day, he rose, because you cannot keep the truth down. And so as we talk on this subject of God's design for the family, I don't have much time, but as we talk on the subject of God's design for the family, I want you to see, my brothers and my sisters, that when we look at the word design, the word design is referring to a plan or a drawing that is produced to show the look and function or working of a building, a garment or other object before it is built or made. So it is a design to show the functioning of it, not just what is to be built, but also the functioning of it after it is built. And so I say that to say this, we must understand that some synonyms for design is the word plan. There's a whole lot of family units that are together that were not planned. Another synonym is blueprint, the word map. And we can take all these words and we can break them down, and we can look at the fact that when we think about map, we think about Google, or we think about Waze. When we want to get to a particular destination, we go to Google or we go to Waze. And the reason why we use Waze now is because they alert us when police are sitting in certain areas, or when there's been an accident on the road, and it'll tell us to go around it. And so we're trusting in it to get us to our destination at the fastest time. When it comes to family, when it comes to life, God has given us a blueprint. He has given us something that is much more sure than Waze or Google. And it's called the Bible. It is still the word of God. It is still without mixture of error. We could send out a survey to Christians, and we could ask them, do you believe that the word of God is absolutely true without any mixture of error? And I'll guarantee you, we will not get 100% who will say that it is completely true. Because there are a lot of people who are professed Christians who do not start to believe in the Bible until after you get past Genesis chapter 2. So my brothers and my sisters, there's a few things I want you to see. I want you to see God's design for the family, God's plan, God's map, God's outline for the family is right here in the scriptures. He says unto us that first of all, a family consists of a male and a female. Let me say that again. A family consists of a male and a female. That's God's design for the family. I know that a lot of people are listening to scientists who are saying that children are born this way and children are born that way and they can't help this and they can't help that. I keep reading in the Word of God where it says He created them male and female. If a child is born as a male, you will never get me to believe that that child was born as a male having male parts, but yet God made them a female. That is a lie, saints. And the church has become confused. And the reason why the church has become confused is because we spend more time in the pulpit talking about politics than we do about the Word of God. It's because preachers are taking surveys like politicians do. Taking surveys to see what the majority of the people believe, and then we'll just go with the flow. I could care less. The thing that I know is that the time is going to come where I'm going to have to stand before an almighty God. And when I stand before God, I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Because God gives us messages to preach. And why does God give us certain difficult messages? Because people are living difficult lives. In our hospitals, we have doctors that are educated and experienced. And there's major surgeries that are being performed all over this country, all over this world. And we do not go to these doctors because the surgery is going to be easy. People are going to these doctors because they are experienced. Because they believe that they can perform the best surgery on them possible. People are flying out of state. They go to different countries to have surgery because they believe that's where I'm going to get the best care. And we've got to understand that the church whom God has called out of darkness into His marvelous light is still giving this world the best care. And sometimes when you come in God's house, He opens you up. And He performs surgery right in the midst of the service. And sometimes it's painful when we hear things that we don't want to hear because there are family members that have decided to live this ungodly lifestyle. And so, saints, there's three things I want to share with you in this first part of God's design for the family. I want you to see, first of all, look with me at Psalm 127 and look in verse 1. This is a song of degrees for Solomon, okay? And when I say a song, in other words, it's singing. It's a song of degrees, which means the word degree means elevation. It's a song of elevation, which means while the Jewish people were on their way to church up to Jerusalem, ascending, elevating up high to Jerusalem, they weren't just going to church, but they were singing songs. They were singing songs and they were praising God on the way to church. And this is a song, one of the many songs that they were singing. They were excited about what this psalm says. That unless the Lord builds a house, they who build in vain. They were singing a song. It made them happy to understand that God had to be the one to build their families. And so, saints, it's a song that they were singing as they were elevating up to the church. And it says for Solomon, the word Solomon is Shelomo, Shelomo in the Hebrew. And it means peaceful, safe, well, and happy, which means that the word of God is what made them happy. You know what makes most people happy today? Careers. I'm not saying that you should enjoy your career, but I'm saying that should not be your primary happiness. wealth. First thing I want you to see is this. Number one, only God can design and build our families. Only God can design and build our families. It's right here. It says the first three words, except the Lord. Except the Lord. In other words, except the Lord, the word except means only. No other way. Nobody else. Nothing else. Only the Lord. And we need to get that, because there's no sense in going and searching for any other way to build a family that's going to be successful and that's going to be lasting and that's going to be illuminated and make a difference in society. Only the Lord. He's the only one. The Bible says except the Lord. Now, the reason why it says except the Lord is because the word Lord here is Jehovah, which means it's talking about the self-existing or the eternal God. Which means that the self-existence, eternal God is the one and true living God, because that's his national name. He gives his national name here because he says, this is the God who can not only build a family in Virginia, but he's the only God who can build a family anywhere in the world. It's important that the psalmist calls him Jehovah because it's his national name. There were many gods that were believed in, but they were all called El something. When God showed up to Moses at the burning fiery bush and went down to Egypt, and Moses said, who shall I tell them sent me? He said, tell them that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. But when God showed up to Abraham and told him to leave Ur of Chaldeans and go to a land that he would show him, he called himself El Shaddai. The reason why God called himself El Shaddai to Abraham is because Abraham had been used to serving false gods. And God did not dump all of who he was on Abraham at one time, because if the truth be told, God can't give us all of himself at the same time, because we can't handle it. We've been so used to doing things a certain way and going through certain things. God has to take us through a process. And as he takes us through the process, we began to understand more, and we began to listen more, and we began to see more. And then all of a sudden, when we get to a level to where we can obtain it, then God dumps it on us. And so right here, he says, except Jehovah. He's saying God is the only one who can design and build our family. Now, again, let's go back to the word design, because it's talking about a plan. Now, when we think about building a house today, I remember building my house back in the year 2000. I had to go through a process, Brother Kevin. I went and found me an architect. And then after an architect, and then he had to come up with blueprints for the house. And then I had to take the blueprints to the planning and permits office. And then after I took it there, they approved it. And then I had to go find a skill for builder. So I had to go through all this process in order to get my house built. But what we find here in the text is you don't have to go through that process. You just need to put God first in your life, trust in the fact and believe how God designed the family, because he is the architect. He is the blueprint. He is the planning and permits office. And he's also the builder. So only God can design and build our families. The government cannot design and build our families. They're trying to, and families keep failing. There's not a president in this world that can design and build our families. Because no matter who's in office, they always come up with something that's jacked up. So only God can design and build our family. Secondly, I want you to see that there's a necessity for God to build. There is a necessity. There's something that God needs in order to build. Now, let's not get it twisted. God has creative power. We saw that back in Genesis chapter 1. And when you read the earlier verses, you see that everything that God created, he spoke into existence. God is the only one who can take nothing and create something. So when I say there's a necessity to build, don't get it twisted and don't miss it. Here it is. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says, except the Lord build. Let's deal with the word build. The word build here means construct something by putting parts or material together. A synonym for the word build is erect, set up, shape, mold, or form. But when you look at the word build in the Hebrew, it means to repair. It also means to obtain children. So the point that I'm making here, when I say the necessity for God, there is a necessity for God to build. What I'm saying is God cannot build our families if we do not put ourselves in the hand of God. We want God to build our children. We want God to mold them. We want them, God to shape them, but we are not putting him always in his hands. And all I'm saying is here, what the writer is teaching us here in Psalm 127 is if God is going to design and build your family, he says you've got to put your family in God's care. How's God going to build families when people have stopped years ago bringing children to church? We'll take them everywhere in the world, on vacation, fishing, hiking, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. We take them to skating lessons. We take them to swimming lessons. Take them everywhere in the world except to a Sunday school class where they can be put in the hands of God and be erected. And I like the word repair, Sister Becky, because some of our children and some of us are jacked up. And I like the fact that the word repair is here because there's nobody so jacked up that God can't fix. And so there's a necessity for God to build. And that necessity is putting our children, putting our family in the hands of God. And in order to do that, we've got to get back to getting up on Sunday, going to Sunday school, attending Bible study, getting involved in the worship service. I tell my girls all the time, especially, I said, listen, if you want to find a good mate, if you want to find your husband, I tell my son, if you want to find your wife, you got to find somebody, first of all, who's born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. But Dad, how do I know if they're washed in the blood of the Lamb? They ought to belong to a Bible teaching, a Bible preaching church. And not only should they be a member of it, but they ought to be actively involved in what's going on at their church. They should be singing in the choir, ushering on the door, doing something in the church. And not only that, if they got a job, they ought to be tithing. And many people say, do you think you're going to find somebody like that? Yes. There are people like that who are serving God. We back off way too much of God's word in order to please children. Because if we be real with ourselves, we don't like it when they get upset with us. We don't like it when they stop speaking to us, when they alienate us, when they ostracize us. Well, guess who's become the child? We have. We live in an age, and it's been going on for years. I remember growing up where the last thing I wanted to happen was for my teacher or my principal to call that woman sitting over there. Because I knew if they called her, I was in trouble. And now kids could care less if a letter gets sent home or if an email gets sent home. As a matter of fact, we got parents showing up at school defending kids. Now, don't get it twisted. Sometimes they get mistreated, and when they get mistreated, you ought to defend them. But I'm talking about kids who are doing stuff that are blatantly disrespectful to teachers. Everybody's scared of them, and they're not scared of anybody. That's why they're out in the streets riding four-wheelers and out here doing everything under the sun. Because they're not afraid of anybody. How did we get here? We got here because we got to the point, and how did we come up with LGBTQ community? They keep adding letters. And then we keep saying, the church is saying, well, God loves everybody. We need to welcome them in, bring them in. Yes, please bring them in. Please bring them in so I can hit them with this. Because this, my brothers and my sisters, is the only thing that's going to change families for the embetterment. And so, the gospel has to be preached. This is God's word, and this is God's will. The house is talking about the family. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the family. Point number three, then I'm going to my seat. Point number three, I want you to see. Attempting to design a family without God is in vain. Attempting to design a family without God is in vain. It's in the second part of the first half. It says, they labor in vain that build it. In other words, if anybody is trying to erect or build a successful family that God wants to be designed, will build it in vain. And let's dig deep when it talks about building in vain. Let's look at what it says. It says, they labor in vain that build it. The word labor means toil, which means you are working overtime, trying to provide for your family, get it what it needs, get it to where it needs to be. You're running here, you're being pulled there, you're tired, you're exhausted, and everybody still wants more. That's toiling. And it says your toiling is in vain. The word vain is used in the sense of desolation, which means you're doing everything you can. You're giving it all your strength. You're giving it your all. But yet, instead of building it, the word here teaches us that you are really demolishing it. Because the word desolation means to make depressingly empty, which means after you've given your kids everything that they want, at the end of the day, they still feel empty. I promise you, that's what it means. That's what it's saying. Why do you think kids keep asking for more and more and more and more? It's not every child. It's not every child. But I'm talking about the ones who do. It's not every parent that's failing. But I'm talking about the ones that are. Jesus said, it's like the man who built his house on the sand. And he said that the house looked good and the house was standing good and it was pretty and everything seemed to be fine until the storms of life came. And when the storms of life came, that's what revealed that the family that he had built on the sand was not solid. And sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, we don't realize that we have failed in building our families until years later. He said, but the one who built this house on the rock, and the rock is Jesus Christ. When you build your house on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and the word of God, even when the trials and the tribulations and the winds and the storms of life come and begin to blow, it says, yet, but that house continues to stand because it's on solid ground. And what it's teaching us is that even when we build our families according to the word of God, there's going to be some storms. That wind is going to blow and that water is going to rise, but it will not crash your family. And so, saints, we're going to stop there this morning. Because I'm plumb out of time. Part two will be coming. Second Sunday of next month. If you're not here, tune in online. This is important. And you don't want to miss it. My time is up. And I thank you for yours. God bless you, saints.
right. Let's all stand, and we'll dismiss with a word of prayer here in a moment. We pray that everybody under the sound of our voice, another brother Ron's voice, knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But if anybody would like prayer, we would be glad to stay behind and pray with you today. But we pray that all hearts are clear today. Thank you, all of our first-time visitors. Thank you for coming out. I hope you enjoyed the service, and I hope if you're ever this way again that you come and fellowship with us. We loved having you, and loved sharing our praises and prayer requests with you. And with that being said, let's all bow our heads and dismiss with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this service today. We thank you for all the message. We thank you for all these people that came out today. Lord, we ask you to keep all these wonderful folks safe until we meet again and give them safe traveling graces. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.